think about practical relevance to us, I feel like I'm attending an AA meeting. You know how those go? If you ever go to one, then you stand up and you acknowledge the fact that you're an alcoholic. So I feel like saying this morning to you, as we're looking at the patience of God, I feel like saying to you, good morning, my name is John, and I'm impatient. And then the crowd behind you goes, good morning, John. We are impatient too. So I don't know if you can identify with my introduction point here, but that's me. I mean, I think about how impatient I can be at times about various things, and I wonder if there's any in the AA meeting here this morning that feels the same. Anyone here impatient, or is it just me? Okay, well, now I can preach this morning since I'm preaching to a group of honest people. I love the Bible. It's my favorite book. And as I've mentioned before to you, there are two major reasons why I love the Bible. The first one is that it's the Bible that teaches us about God. The Bible was given by God to teach us about Himself. So if you're wondering this morning about who God is, what you need to do this afternoon on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, or after some picnic, or after some skeet shooting, which I enjoy immensely to do. If you get some time today or tomorrow, what you want to do is to be able to spend some time in the Word, because the Word teaches us about God. But the second is that the Bible teaches us about ourselves. If you want a good picture of yourself, you need to read the Bible. All those various Bible characters that are found in the Bible are not just stories. We can identify with those people. Isn't that right? When I look at, for instance, the various people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, I say, yeah, Lord, I act like that guy sometimes. You women can go, yeah, I can act like that woman sometimes. For good or bad, we can look at the Bible record and say, yeah, that's humanity. That's who we are. So I love the Bible for those particular two reasons. God's given us the Bible to reveal Himself and also to reveal ourselves. Now, once again, I want to deal with the subject of the patience of God this morning. And I think it's probably one of those subjects that we don't hear much about, and yet we need to. And by the way, why should we even study any of the attributes of God like the patience of God? I still go back to J.I. Packer's book on knowing God. Listen to what he says on page 17 of this book. He states this about the study of who God is, the study of the attributes of God. For instance, this morning, the study of the patience of God. Listen to Packer. We need to ask ourselves, what is our ultimate aim and object in occupying my mind with these things, talking about the attributes of God? What do I intend to do with my knowledge about God once I have got it? For the fact is that we have to face is this, that if we pursue theological knowledge for its own sake, it's bound to go bad on us. It will make us proud and conceited. Isn't that the case? Have you found that in your own life? Well, I've got all of the notes on soteriology down, and if it's just head knowledge, it's going to go bad on us, and we'll be proud and conceited. He says, the very greatness of the subject matter will intoxicate us. We shall come to think of ourselves as a cut above it, and we shall look down on those whose theological ideas seem to be crude and inadequate and dismiss them as poor specimens. Have you ever done that? You look at another Christian and you say, well, you don't know about Reformed theology, and I know about Reformed theology. You see, and you're a poor specimen. You see, I am a higher specimen than you. Now, it's hard to do that when you're 5'4". But you can say this figuratively. You can say, you know, I'm better than you because I've got the Westminster Catechism down. Okay? So that makes me a cut above you. And then Packer goes on and he says, for as Paul told the conceited Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. If any person thinks that he knows anything, he knows not yet what he should know. To be preoccupied with getting theological knowledge as an end in itself, to approach Bible study with no higher motive than a desire to know all the answers, is the direct route to a state of self-satisfied self-deception. We need to guard our hearts against such an attitude and pray to be kept from it. My, don't you? I know I do. I need to cry out to God, Lord, keep me from just walking around thinking I know the Bible intellectually, but it's very difficult for me and having application with my wife or my kids or my friends or the people at work. Lord, help it not to be just intellectual. Well, this morning I want to deal once again with the subject of the patience of God. And I want to look at 4 points with you. If you want to take a few notes, you can. I didn't bring an outline this morning because I wanted to keep you awake since it's getting near summertime. And I thought without an outline, it'd be probably better for you to take your own notes. So here are 4 points I want to deal with this morning on the subject of the patience of God. The first one is this. What is meant by the patience of God? I want to define it. That's the first thing I want to do. The second thing I want to do is I want us to look at some scriptural proofs for the patience of God. So if we can define it, then we go right ahead and after we define it, we want to look at where is this taught in Scripture. Number 3, what are a few questions to ponder concerning the patience of God? I've got some questions about the patience of God. Maybe you have too. And I'm going to give you a few questions that we can ponder sometime. And then number 4, what are a few practical applications from the patience of God? I mean, if the patience of God actually exists, if God actually exists and He is patient, how can I apply this to my week ahead of me with my wife, with my kids, with my friends, with the people at work? How can I do that if God is patient? Well, let's look at our first point here, and that is the subject of the definition of the patience of God. What is meant by the patience of God? And essentially what we can say is this. When we're talking about the patience of God, we're talking about God is slow to anger, or He forbears. He holds actually Himself back. He controls Himself when He's provoked. Sometimes this word patience in the Old Testament and New Testament is translated endurance, perseverance, or slow to anger. Just think about this morning with me. The God who created the universe is patient. The God who created the universe is slow to anger. And He is so remarkable and sovereign that He's even in control, sovereignty, He's in control of His own emotions. He's in control of patience. He can be patient with us. Let me ask you a question. Did you feel like God shouldn't be patient with you this week? I know I messed up a few times where I had to say, Lord, how can you tolerate my actions here? But God is patient. Now, can you imagine this morning with me a God who's sovereign and angry and yet is not patient? Who could possibly walk out of this building this morning with any kind of hope, right? Can you imagine having an impatient God dealing with impatient people like you and me? Oh, I would like that scenario. I wouldn't like that at all. It'd be hard for me to worship, to praise God if He was impatient. So impatient essentially means the slow to anger, the concept from the Hebrew Greek words. Forbearance has the idea of controlling oneself when provoked. Now, let me give you some other definitions, quaint definitions from Bible scholars, I think, that would help us here also. We're still on point number 1. Here's the first one by author W. Pink in his book on the attributes of God. Do any of you have that book by author W. Pink? You should get Pink, sell one of your shoes or two of them, whatever the case may be, and buy Pink's book on the attributes of God. Listen to what he says here about patience. The patience of God. He says, the power of control which God exercises over Himself, causing Him to bear with the wicked and forbear so long in punishing them. Now the God stands back and says, I'm going to control myself from pouring out my anger at you. That's a remarkable thing. The patience of God. He controls Himself. So He won't pour out His anger on the rebels who rebel against Him, the people who rebel against Him. Listen to Stephen Charnack in his book on the attributes of God. God's patience and mercy are a part of God's goodness, yet they differ. Listen to this. They differ. In mercy, respect is shown to the creature. In mercy, respect is shown to the creature as miserable. Okay, so God in mercy looks at you and myself before we're converted and He goes, you're miserable. We don't always recognize that before we're converted, but that's exactly what we were. And if you're here this morning without Christ, that's what you are right now, this morning. You're miserable. You may try to hide your misery with all kinds of worldly ideas and pleasures, but deep down in your soul, you're miserable because you don't have a relationship with God, which comes through Christ. And then he goes on, in mercy, respect is shown to the creature as miserable, but I love this, and with patience, respect is shown to the creature as a criminal. Is it like that? I mean, God looks at you in mercy with patience, and he says he has this respect for you as being miserable, and yet with patience, he looks at you and he sees you as a criminal. Wow. Imagine God looking upon you as a criminal prior to your coming to Christ. Well, what did I do wrong? Well, if you know anything about the Ten Commandments, you broke them. And the Ten Commandments, if you could put a little subtitle in the bottom, it would be this. You're a criminal. You've broken these laws that God has established. Listen to Wayne Grudem and his systematic theology concerning God's patience. God's patience is His goodness in withholding punishment to those who sin over time. He withholds His punishment to those who sin over time. Now let me ask you a question before we go to our second point. Do you ever picture God this way? Do you ever picture Him as patient? Let me ask you this question. Let's get our focus here. Do you ever picture God patient with your wife or with your husband? Do you ever picture God patient with your kids or with your parents? Do you ever picture God patient with your friends? You see, God is patient. And that's what I want us to think about for the next few moments. God is patient. Well, let's look at our second point. What are the scriptural proofs of the patience of God? And let's go to, I'm going to give you three Old Testament passages. And I'm going to give you three New Testament passages. So follow me as we go through these. The first one, let's go to Genesis. It's a text that most of us probably are acquainted with. Genesis 18. And I want us to look at this morning, verse 22 down. And you know the story. You know the story. Here's Abraham, and he's petitioning God about Sodom, the city. And Abraham attempts to intercede for the city. And you know the conversation they're having, right? God is going to destroy the city, and Abraham has this discussion. And he tries to work out his discussion by going through different aspects of numbers with God. For instance, in verse 22, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, while Adam was still standing before the Lord. And Abraham was still standing before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Now there must be some righteous people here in Sodom. And then he starts bargaining with God. Do you ever do this? I've done it. You know, this is what Abraham does in verse 24. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? And then he goes down further into the passage. Verse 25, he argues this point with God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do justly? I mean, can't you see him? Put yourself into the text. That's what I keep telling the students at school about. When you read a Bible passage, put yourself into the passage. Look at the passage and put yourself in Abraham's situation. Ask yourself questions like, have I ever asked the Lord this when I've talked to the Lord in prayer? Shall not the judge of all the earth do justly? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare the whole place on their account. So Abraham continues. And you'll note, he's got him, He's talking now about 45. Maybe I can... He's starting to think about the people in Sodom, I think, you know? He's starting to look at it and go, well, I don't know. Let me see if I can bring it down a little bit. Okay, let me go down from 50 to 45. And then he goes down, verse 29, down to 40. He's been thinking about... He's probably thinking about some of the relatives. Maybe some of the other people there. Some of the people he's met on the street, down at the mall. Now he comes down to verse number 30. He says, how about if I have 30? Maybe God will... And the Lord, He's so patient with Abraham here. You see him? He doesn't get mad at him. Doesn't ridicule him. Doesn't kick him around. He says, yeah, all right, I'll be patient with you. You go down to 30. And then, I love verse number 31, and he says, now behold, I venture to speak the Lord. Suppose there are 20 found. Will he not destroy an account of the 20? Once again, the Lord shows his patience. And the Lord says, oh, may the Lord not be angry that I shall speak once more. Suppose 10 are found. And he gets them down to 10, he thinks. And the Lord says, okay, 10. And you know the story. God brings judgment upon the people of Sodom in chapter 19. So you see something about the patience of God in that chapter. Let's go to another passage. Let's go to the Psalms. I want to show you something from Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 14 and 15. Now, bear with me as we go through these passages. We don't have time to get into the context of each of these, but just look at the verses. Verse 14 and 15. Listen to what the psalm writer states about God. O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger. That's the concept of patience. Slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and in truth. So he's in trouble, but he's going to the Lord, and guess what? He's remembering who God is. That's a good principle. Can I tell you something? Listening? When you're in trouble, that's what you want to do. You want to remember who God is. And that's what he does in the passage. People are against him. And what he does is he says, Lord, you're slow to anger. You're patient with people. Let's go to another passage in the Old Testament. Just one more. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 18. Listen to what Isaiah writes here. Verse 18. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And the idea of longs here is the idea of waiting. Once again, the implication is God is patient. God waits to be gracious to you. Can you imagine that? I want you to think about that on this beautiful Sunday morning. God is waiting right now to be patient, in patience, to be gracious to you and myself. That's a beautiful thing, if you think about it. On this Sunday morning, God is waiting to be gracious to you and to me. I mean, think about that thing. I go, this is a remarkable thing. That God would wait so that He could be gracious to me and to you. And then he goes on, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. And you know something of the terms of grace and compassion, grace and mercy. Grace giving you something you don't deserve. Mercy is God withholding that which you do deserve. But God is waiting there. He's going, yes, I want to be merciful. I want to be compassionate. So you had a hard week this week. You had a difficult week at work. You had a difficult week with your kids. You had a difficult week with your mate. Anybody have a difficult week with your mate? Check with my wife. I'll give you the number later and you can call her and ask her. Yeah, we can have difficult times with each other. And yet the gracious thing about God is He's there waiting to have mercy and He's there to have grace on you people. He's really waiting for you to come to Him and to converse with Him and to talk to Him about the struggles of your life. Life is hard. Have you found that so? Anyone here besides myself? I mean, life can be hard. I'm on the treadmill this week, and you know what? It doesn't get easier as you get older. I mean, it gets hard. And I'm on the treadmill, I'm arguing with myself. First of all, I'm asking myself, why am I on this thing? And really, who cares if I'm on it? But I know since I'm 5'4", as I mentioned, and I like to eat, my wife's a great cook, I have to be on this thing. Life's hard. And so God looks at us and through Isaiah, and he says, listen, I'm gracious, I'm compassionate, I'm merciful. And then in verse 18, he continues, for the Lord is a God of justice. Did you feel like you were being mistreated this week? Did anyone mistreat you? Are you in any kind of an abusive relationship? Are your friends mistreating you? The people at work mistreating you? See, God is a God of justice. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who wait for Him. See, God waits for us. And now He's saying, we need to wait for Him. And a beautiful thing. It's like this good parent seeing the child down at the beach. And the parents 100 yards from the shoreline, and the parents just waiting there for the child to run towards him. The parents waiting. And then our text is saying that the child, as it were, is waiting to run up to the dad or the mom. And God this morning is waiting for you to go to Him. Don't just go from one activity to another. God is patient. He wants you to go to Him and talk with Him about what's going on. Well, let's get into three New Testament texts, and we must move on. Let's go to Romans chapter 15, the text that you have in your bulletin there. Romans 15, verses 4 and 5. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance or patience, I love the Greek word here, it's the preposition under, to remain under. That's what patience is, to remain under trouble, to remain under pressure. You get the two words? And when you're remaining under it, it's not easy. You don't like it. I don't like the situation I've ever been in. I'm in. Do you ever talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't like the situation I'm in? Do you ever say that to the Lord? I mean, He already knows that. But it's good for you to admit it. It's good for you and myself to admit it. Lord, I don't like this situation I'm in. That's part of the perseverance. And the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. Now listen to verse 5. Now may the God who gives patience or perseverance and encouragement, I love that, God gives it to you. Now think about this. You've got some kind of a God this morning. If God exists, and this is His Word, He's saying, I want to give you mercy, I want to give you grace, I want to give you patience, and I want to give you encouragement. Now, how can He do that? He can do that because that's who He is. He's a God of mercy, He's a God of grace, He's a God of patience, He's a God of encouragement. And He only can give what you have. So God can give you patience because that's who He is. He can give you encouragement because that's who He is. You and I need to avail ourselves of that and go to Him and say, Lord, you know, I'm feeling right now, and I've had to say this to the Lord a few times, Lord, I'm feeling impatient. How many of us in this room, and I've probably asked this before, but how many of us in this room are list people and organized people? You like to have things structured and organized. Anybody here like that besides me? Nobody. That's amazing. Presbyterians, not organized, they're list people. I know you are. And when things, here's my problem, I'm going to just be vulnerable with you. When things aren't on my list and they occur, it can be problematic for me. I mean, how can God allow this to happen? Wasn't on my list today. I mean, I don't know how He can do that. And if things aren't organized, it just sometimes gets to me. Is that the way you are? And so here, in the mix of that, I need to go to the Lord and say, and I have gone to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm feeling very impatient right now. And I'm feeling disorganized. And Lord, I'm feeling insecure right now because things aren't organized the way they should be. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody here know what I'm talking about? I feel insecure when things aren't organized and structured and on the list. And I have to cry out to God, Lord, you're a God of patience and encouragement and mercy and grace, and I need to participate in that right now. Let's go to another portion of Scripture. We must move on. Let's go to 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, and listen to what Paul says about himself here. Verse 15 and 16. Verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did Jesus come? You know why he came? He came to save sinners. And if you come to the place by the Spirit of God working in your life where there's repentance and faith in Christ, repentance, turning from your sin, having a change of mind about your sin, and placing faith in Christ, he will save you. That's a remarkable thing. He will convert you. Even on this Sunday morning, God will convert you. You come to him by faith. You turn from your sin. He'll convert you. Note what he says here. It's a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom, Paul says, I am the foremost, the chief of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience. Jesus is patient in saving souls as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Do you get the point there? God is seeing down through time. I'm going to exercise patience so that person will become a believer. It's a beautiful thing. Some of you have been praying for people in your family for years. I know I've been praying. I was at a ball game with my oldest brother in Syracuse. They were playing Rochester at the time. This was a year or two years ago, I guess. And for nine innings, I witnessed to him about Christ. I gave him every Bible verse I can muster up. And my oldest brother. And for over 40 years, he's been rejecting what I say. And on that day, guess what happened? He rejected again. 9 innings worth of preaching to him. Right there. We didn't even watch the game. We just talked to each other about. For 9 innings, I told him about Christ. For 9 innings, he rejected what I had to say. You'll note verse 16. In his perfect patience, as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. See, God has patience with people. And his desire is to save sinful people like you and myself and to demonstrate his patience to us. And then one last portion of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now these are just a few of the verses dealing with patience, the patience of God. Verse 21 through 25. Let's go to 22. Since you have obedience to the truth, purify your souls. Let's move to chapter 2. Sorry, chapter 2. Verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Now, isn't this an interesting characteristic about Jesus? He's patient. When people were on him, wanting to destroy his character, Jesus exercises patience. Boy, does that happen to you at all? People want to destroy your character? Jesus exercised patience. And you'll note, kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Okay. Let's go to our third point. Now, I hope you got my second point, essentially, is this. That the Bible is replete with the subject of the patience of God. Can you handle two more points? You ready? Okay. Two more points. Try to stay with me. Here's number three. What are a few questions that we need to ponder concerning the patience of God? And I'll give you a few of these particulars. First of all, here's a question that I have if I'm examining the patience of God. Why is it that the Lord is patient with those who reject Him and curse Him and laugh at Him? You ever think about that? I mean, you think about the people that you work next to, or the people down the hall, or people down in your own family. Think about the people in your own family who curse Christ all the time. And if you ever bring up the idea about going to church or reading your Bible or giving some information from a Christian worldview, if you ever deal with that, they get upset with you. Boy, watch the patience of God in that situation. Listen to what Thomas Watson, one of my favorite Puritan writers, said about this in his Body of Divinity. Anyone here have Watson on Body of Divinity? Oh, it's a great text. Listen to what he says here. Mercy and patience, I've read this to you before a number of times back. Mercy and patience stays the speedy execution of God's justice. Now think about this. You've got to think of the words here. Here's this man ready to hang this fellow on the gallows. And God's saying, not now. Don't hang him. Got the rope around his neck. Ready for the door on the bottom to be opened. And he's going to be dropped right down in the bottom. And God's going, don't open the door. Don't open the door yet. Listen to what he says here. Sinners continually provoke God and make his anger come up to his face. Why is it that God does not promptly arrest and condemn them? It is not that God cannot do it, for he is armed with omnipotence. I love that. God has all the power in the world to destroy that person right now for cursing Christ, for making fun of Christians, for ridiculing the Bible. All the power in the world to do that against that individual. And yet, listen to this. He's armed with omnipotence, but it is from his mercy and patience that God gets a reprieve for the sinner and stops the speedy process of his justice. God, by his goodness, would lead sinners to repentance. Oh, and that's something. You know those people that you go to work with on Monday? I see them all around cursing Jesus. You know the people in your family, right? Cursing Jesus. First thing you meet with them, and what are they doing? They're cursing Christ. You know those people? You know, you have the picture in your mind about those people? I have people in my mind that do that. God is giving them a reprieve. He's saying, no, you've got another day. You've got another day to repent from your sin before I take your life. You've got another day. I'm trying to exercise. I'm exercising my patience towards you right now. That's why I don't come out in judgment. You go to work on Monday and a co-worker shouts that God should damn something or everyone. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do. They want God to damn something. What are you seeing in front of you? You know what you're seeing when you see that happen? What are you seeing? You're seeing the patience of God. God doesn't kill him right there, or kill me, or kill you right there. How about the times you did that before you were converted, always cursing Christ? Remember those days you did that? At least I do. Remember my days. I'm surprised God didn't just kill me right then. And he'd have every right to do it. That's a remarkable thing. He had every right to do it. So I'm taking your life right now because guess what? Because I'm the God of the universe. And you're just this little 5'4" person walking around. And you know what you're doing? You're cursing me. And God doesn't take our lives. He's a gracious God. He's patient with us. The patience of God. Or how about when you watch TV and you see the patience of God, right? The Ten Commandments being violated all the time. One of the assignments I give the kids at school is this. I have them sit down in front of a television program and list all the times one of the Ten Commandments have been broken. It's a very interesting assignment. And then they come back in the following day and they explain to me all the times that the Ten Commandments have been violated. And I said, now what does this teach you about God? If he exists, what does it teach you about him? Well, the thing that teaches you about him for sure is that he's patient. God could kill every one of them just there, right then. He doesn't. Instead, he gives, as Watson says here, gives the sinner a reprieve. Let me go to another thing here too. What are a few questions upon around the patience of God? Why is it if God is patient that we observe his anger demonstrated in Scripture? When we see His anger demonstrated, we also see the reason for this demonstration. God is holy and He hates sin. Now here's the point I'm trying to make here. If we do not understand the holiness of God, we will not understand the justice of God. God does not demonstrate His anger after He has exhibited His patience. God is patience. He's patient. Even to those people next to you that curse Christ during the week. You hear them? Those people in your home that curse Christ all the time. What are you seeing about God when they're doing that? God is patient. You see those people at work cursing the Lord just as soon they walk in the door. They're saying something derogatory about Jesus or about God. God is exercising. Every time you see that, you go, God is exercising His patience against that person. Maybe you're like that this morning. Maybe you've been cursing the Lord this week. I'll tell you something. God is exercising His patience towards you. Maybe you're a younger person here. Are you listening to me, younger people here this morning? Maybe you're running from the Scriptures. God is exercising His patience to you. You need to get into the Word. You need to get into the Bible. You need to read Scripture. You need to seek God and say, Lord, teach me about Yourself. Don't run from God, youngster. Listen to me. Are you listening to me this morning? Youngster, you listen to me. Don't run from God. He's exercising patience with you. You run towards Him. You go towards Him. Don't run from Him. And then this last point under the third point, I've got one more and then we're done. Why is it that even when Christians still get impatient? Why is it if that's the case? Why is it that we get impatient even if we're Christians? If God is patient. When we exhibit impatience, we display a lack of trusting the sovereignty of God. Have you noticed that about yourself? I noticed that about myself. When I get impatient, I'm really saying I'm not trusting the sovereignty of God. I'm really forgetting Romans 8, 28 and 29. Certainly I'm not applying it to my life at that moment. Jerry Bridges. Have you read his book, Respectable Sins? You ever read Jerry Bridges' book, Respectable Sins? I'm not going to read it because of time, but page 115, he elaborates on this matter of impatience. I love what Charles Spurgeon said here. Listen to this one. Charles Spurgeon said this: it is wonderful how pleasant and how friendly we are until we get irritated. Don't you love that? I mean, I can be the nicest guy unless you irritate me. And you're probably like that too. We all can be real nice people until we're irritated. But God is patient with us. Sanctification. Isn't this true, Christian? Be honest with me. Let's have a confessional. Let's have a Presbyterian confessional this morning. Listen. Our patience really needs to be worked on, doesn't it? Mine does. Yours does. God is patient with us. Okay, let's go to our last point. You ready for the last point now? Then we're done. Then you go home and I have some hot dogs or hamburgers. Or if you're fortunate like me, I'm going to have a big dish of spaghetti. Let's go to this fourth point. What are a few practical applications from the patience of God? I'm going to give you just four. Here's some application points that hopefully you can take with you. The first one is this. Do you really see how patient God has been with you? And you can't answer that here more than likely. You have to get alone somewhere and answer it. You need to ask yourself, as I'm working on this message again, I'm going, do I really believe that God has been patient with me? You need to ask yourself that. You need to wrestle through that sometime. All our running around being impatient. Do you see yourself doing that? Anyone struggle here with impatience? Yes, you do. I do. How about the lines in the store? Anybody here get impatient and have to wait in the lines of the store? Anyone like me? Like, will you hurry the process up here? I just came for a piece of bread here, you know. How about this one? How about getting impatient when you're at a restaurant? You ordered an hour and a half ago and it's not here. Right? It was actually 5 minutes ago you ordered. But time lapses sometimes. How about men and women, the difference, right? You know this, right? Don't you? If you've been around men, if you've been around women at all, or men, women, you've been around men at all, you know this. When women talk, right, and men talk, it's totally different about patience. You've seen that in your own life with your wife, your husband, or your girls, or your boys, whatever the case is. the girls can just go on and on and on and on about things, right? Come on, should we be honest here this morning? My daughter's a cosmetologist, and she does a great job on my hair and others. And she told me the other day, well, actually, she didn't tell me, I heard this. I was out in her backyard working, putting in plants for her and so on. And I heard she and this other woman in the chair talking away. And they went from one topic to another topic to another topic to another topic. And I was back there working on the flowers and saying, I could never be a woman, Lord. I can't. That's all too unstructured to me. How all that can happen. So and then she looks at me and she says to me, as I go into the house, I said to her, listen, I don't know how you did this. You know, you were with this woman for an hour and a half, and you just went on from one topic to another topic. And she says, well, Dad, I don't understand. What's the problem? I said, well, there was no semblance of order on the thing. There was just one topic after another. And so I was exercising some impatience there. And you know, we men, if we were talking to each other, we'd have it all systematized, right? Isn't that right? We'd have 3 points down. Well, if I went to Craig and said, Craig, I got this problem in my car, Craig would go, hopefully he would go, well, John, here's your problem. Here's A, B, and C. And I go, oh, thank you, Craig. Appreciate it. See you later. Not so with women. Here's what happens with women. You got A, B, and C. Then you've got A, 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Come on, women. Let's have a confessional here. And then you've got 6, 7, and 8. And the guy's going, I don't need all that information. I just got this. Right? Ah, that's a subject for another time. Okay, so do we really see how patient God is with us? Because a lot of times we don't see that. You women need to be patient with your wives. We don't get it a lot. We don't understand what's all the talk about when you could have said it all in 5 minutes, you know? And the guys you guys don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You look at me like you're religious this morning. Look at it. Isn't this true? I mean, don't put me on the spot here. Some of you really, you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, okay, let's go to the next point. If we truly, here's just a few other sub-points here, and then we're done. If we truly see the patience of God, this will lead us to praise Him for His patience with us. Isn't that the case? When you look at Scripture and see that God is patient, at least I have, and I hope you have too, you go, Lord, I'm so thankful that You're patient with me. Right? You ever done that? Did you ever say, Lord, thank You for being patient with me? Maybe you can utter it inside as a Presbyterian this morning. Maybe you can utter it inside. Maybe you don't like to shout it out like a Presbyterian. Lord, thank You for being patient with me this morning. I'm so glad You've been patient with me. Another thing, just two other little sub-points, and that's this. We should guard ourselves about abusing the patience of God. 1 Corinthians 10, 5 through 14 deal with that. People of Israel in the Old Testament thought that God was patient, and they moved on, and they just thought that since He's patient, we can live any way we want. And then lastly, we should be patient with those outside of Christ. I'll give you a story about my brother, and I'll close. My brother Nick is interesting. I'll never forget, after I was in college, came back from college. I wasn't a Christian. One of the college years came back, and my brother Nick was converted at the time. At that point, I was thinking about being a psychology major. So I came in, and he had Christmas tracts all over his trees, all over the tree, Christmas tree. And I looked at my parents, and I said, the guy's finally gone. I mean, he's definitely out somewhere. I mean, why would you put tracts on a tree? You know, I didn't know what to call them, tracts. Got all these papers. And they talk about Jesus at Christmas time. I mean, can you imagine such a thing? And I didn't understand that. And I would say to him, this is really, really ridiculous. Can't you keep your religion? Why don't you do something else with your religion instead of putting it all on the tree here? Messing up the Christmas time. Messing up the tree. What do you think this is? Is this about Jesus? Do you think this is what it is? And then it was interesting. I looked at him and I thought, how ridiculous is this guy? And then the Lord converted me and I thought, God could have killed me right there. But you know why He didn't? He was patient with me. You know that non-Christian mate that you have who's been abusing you? Maybe you're under an abuse situation this morning. And if you are, I'll tell you need to make that known to the elders in the church here. And if the elders in the church are abusing, you need to contact another congregation and make sure their elders know what's going on with this elder in the congregation who abuses his wife or kids, or go to the elders here. Don't keep abuse quiet. Patience doesn't mean I hide the pain that's going on. Patience means I'm going to work through it in a systematic way, but I'm not going to say it doesn't exist. And there may be some people here who are under abusive situations in their homes, and God's not saying don't do anything about it. You need to do something about it because God is patient. Lastly, let me say this. We should be patient with those outside of Christ. That was you and me a few days ago, right? Wasn't that true? That was us a few days ago. May God spare them His wrath as He spared His wrath from us. May that be the case. Thanks for listening this morning. May you and I understand something of the patience of God. And listen, let's be honest with ourselves as I close here this morning. Patience is one of those attributes that we're never going to learn fully here in this life. So let me take the pressure off you. Okay. It's not that we're going to leave this place down and go, oh, guess what? I got it down now. I've got patience down. I got it all down. None of us can claim that. Because you know your heart, mine. We can get in our cars and be impatient on the way down in our car. Isn't that right? We need the Lord to help us with it, though, because He's a God of patience. We need to be like that, too. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank You for giving us this time this morning, thinking about who You are, who Jesus is, our great Savior. I'm so thankful, Father, that Jesus is patient with sinners. Thank You that He was patient with us, those of us in this room who ran from You. And yet, Father, You were patient with us. You didn't kill us. You kept us alive to convert us. And how thankful I am for that, Lord. How thankful I am that You kept these people also. Lord, help us to praise You this morning about Your patience with us. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.